Morning. Buenos días. Well, we are celebrating Jesus' entrance to Jerusalem. This is Holy Week. My hope is that you are excited. I'm excited about Holy Week. Are you excited? Well, show it. Hallelujah. So we're going to reflect on this powerful passage. This is a perfect opportunity to reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross every year. So let's go and start this reflection. So today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. It's an excellent time for reflection, to think about what God has done for us, being anticipation, and see how the crowd was cheering and waving palm branches, expecting this political leader to come and conquer Rome and the Roman Empire. But then Jesus arrives humbly as a donkey, you know, riding a donkey, fulfilling this prophecy that we will see today, and how God was talking more about a different victory. So let's go deeper, and as we see this celebration, what I want the church to see is that this celebration is actually the first step toward the cross. And sometimes when we are serving God and we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we forget that there is also suffering connected to the glory and the happiness. And the understanding that this idea that the gospel is everything, is cookies and cream and perfect, you have another thing coming if you think that that's what it is, right? There is a price to pay, there is a cost to discipleship, and we have to be ready to suffer for the name of Jesus. So let's go to see what Jesus was sharing with the prophecy that was fulfilled. So when you go to the scriptures in the Old Testament, it is written, rejoice, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus enters Jerusalem and as a king, not on a war horse, but on a donkey. And when we reflect on those symbolizing, what are the symbols that Jesus is trying to show us, is that he's not coming with the expectation that the world has. He's coming not in a war horse. And the picture of the war, as I shared with you a year ago, is more like this pride, this strength. And Jesus is coming with peace as a king, a humble king, in the crowd expectation of this political savior. But in reality, what Christ was aiming for is for our souls. He wants to be the savior of our souls. This understanding that there's no such a thing as a political savior. Especially in this season in the country, I hope that you have your trust in God, knowing that he's the one who is going to protect this nation. And yes, we are called to pray for our president, whoever that might be, but most importantly, the realization and the understanding and the revelation that only God has come to save us. And the moment we understand that, then our heart is at peace, regardless what is happening. But Jesus choosing to ride on a king, was on a donkey, was also this prophecy that he was living out as he was entering Jerusalem. And the understanding that it's better to ride on a donkey because of God's purpose, living out God's purpose, than a mighty horse in your own terms. It is better to worship God under a tree, following God's truth and loving God and worshiping him, knowing that he's with you, than in a big house in your own terms. Does that make sense? And sometimes when we look at that, we go and say, okay, give me the horse. I don't want a donkey. Who wants to ride a donkey? Right? But what is good at our eyes, you know, at our sight, it's not usually what God wants us to do. There is a lovely story where these two animals, you know, where all the animals were in the barn, and the horse and the donkey were there, and when the donkey came back from this powerful entrance, the donkey was happy. And the donkey was prideful, and he went into the barn saying, you see all the people clapping and happy, and they were clapping and claiming and saying, he's the king is coming, the king in the name of the Lord is coming, Hosanna in the highest, highest, glory, glory, glory. And the donkey was so happy. Do you see all these people putting their clothes before me? Wow. And the horse says, donkey, it was about Jesus, not about you. And we all need to remember the same thing, that we might sing well, we might serve well, and people clap when we see us, but in reality, it's not about you, my friend. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. He's the one who is, if you're going to clap, clap, yes. You know? He's the one who is, he's the one who is in us, and he's the one showing up. And when he does that, it's powerful to see how he loves us. Now, there is a price to pay for this victory. Jesus was telling a story in Luke 19. When you read the entrance, Jesus' entrance to Jerusalem, it starts first with the entrance to Jericho. So he saw Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, today I'm going to eat at your house. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house. And then he says, salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house. Because this man is a son of Abraham, and now salvation has come because the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And then he said a parable that is very powerful, preparing all of us for the next week when he was about to enter in Jerusalem. He said in Luke 19, a man of noble birth went to a distant country, and then he wanted to appoint himself king. This is what he's saying. This man is going to a distant country, the earth, appointing himself king. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas and said to them, here is the money. Work and make it work until I come back. Then he says, but his subjects hated him, and they sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to be king over us. And then he says that the man, the king, came back. And when he came back, he held all his servants accountable for the gifts that he gave us, for the assignment that he gave us. Hold them accountable. And then after that, he said, bring those enemies of mine who didn't want me to be king over them, bring them before me and kill them right now in my face, in my presence. This is Jesus, the loving Jesus, preparing the crowd to him, because then when he was about to enter Jerusalem, he says, I'm going to appoint myself king. And the expectation is that you and I have the opportunity, the choice, to either clap and say, Hosanna in the highest, the name of the king that is coming, in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, or we're going to be laughing at him and rebuking the disciples, as many did, and saying, let your people not worship you and claim that you are the king. Ask them to stop. And Jesus said, nope, because if I do, even the stones will cry out. It's so powerful. So in other words, if we don't worship, guess what? God is going to find people that is going to worship him and prophesy and declare that he is the King of Kings. And then he gave us another warning. He says, Jerusalem, crying over Jerusalem. He wept. And he said, Jerusalem, you will be destroyed. You will be judged because you did not recognize the day that God came for you. And this is the warning and the expectation of this season when we celebrate Palm Sunday. That is also the fact, are you recognizing that God came for you? Am I recognizing that God came for you? That's the expectation of Palm Sunday, this celebration. But here is the pride of the victory that God went through. It says that the cheers of Palm Sunday turned into cries of crucifixion 1 week later. And what is the principle behind this, Pastor? that the same people who clap and say, you are lovely, you are awesome, are the same people that 1 week later will say, crucify, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So here is my news for you. If you are following Christ and you want everybody to love you like you are Barney, you are love and love and love, the Bible says that the student, the servant, is not greater than the master. If they worship Jesus, love Jesus, and then wanted to crucify him, same thing will happen to all of us when we love and follow Christ. Sometimes we're going to be awesome, and sometimes people want to kill us. Are you okay with that? If not, find another job, because this job of being a disciple is a tough calling. And my hope is that we walk with Christ with that understanding. Jesus knew the suffering ahead, and he remained what? Resolute. So when things get tough, it's not time to quit. It's time to get what? Resolute. Keep going, knowing that God called you, knowing that you are walking and following Christ, knowing that you are honoring his call and purpose. And because of that, things will be okay. Doesn't matter what people are saying, doesn't matter what is happening, all the noise around you, the economy, your people, your family, everything is happening. You have to quiet the noise and know that if you are faithful to God, everything will be okay. And when you know that, God will give you peace. While the crowd respond with mix, some worship, others laugh at him and asking him to rebuke the disciples and the people, Jesus stayed focused on his mission, making disciples for the salvation of humankind. So if Jesus experienced a mixed crowd, we are also going to experience a mixed crowd. When God called me to be a pastor and said, I want you to go and preach the gospel, he, through this passage, is saying to me, you are going to experience a mixed crowd. Wherever I send you, you are going to a church, and when you are in that church, here's the news. Some people will clap and be happy, others will be crying when you show up. And when you leave, guess what? Some people will be happy, finally, we'll get rid of the Cuban. And other people will be sad because the Cuban is gone. But doesn't matter what we do, if Jesus experienced a mixed crowd, we are going to experience a mixed crowd. So my heart is at peace, and you need to know that I sleep very well every single night. Because I know that I'm going to experience a mixed crowd, because I'm not better than Jesus, I'm not greater than him. Therefore, if he experiences, guess what? Stand fast, my friend, because you are going to experience the same thing. And it's fine. My heart is at peace, and I hope yours is as well. Now, what is the expectation? What are the applications of this passage? Surrender your expectations to whom? To God. So when you put your expectations in God, your heart will be at peace. In 25 years of ministry, one of the biggest opportunities for conflict is this mixed expectation. You are expecting one thing from me, I'm expecting one thing from you. You're expecting one thing from your spouse is expecting a different thing from you. And because we are not having conversations and in connections and with clarity, and nothing is written, everything is words, then we start having conflicts. Did that happen to you or only in my house? Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. So the people in Jerusalem had the same challenges. They were expecting a king that will come and overthrow the government and Rome and bring the kingdom of heaven and change everything. But God came not to fight Rome, but to fight our flesh, to fight our sins, to fight Satan, to fight the enemy, to overthrow the kingdom of darkness. And when we understand that, we shift, because God is so powerful and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So here it is, the passage that will help you to process misunderstandings. So this understanding of not understanding what is happening, because it's really hard to understand everything around us. Trust in the Lord with all your, and do not lean on your own understanding. That's why Jesus was riding a donkey. We are donkeys. We don't understand everything. It's impossible to understand God. We don't understand even ourselves. We don't understand our spouse. We don't understand our children. We don't understand what is going on around the world. I don't understand tariff. This conversation is driving me crazy. I don't understand anything. My point is, what God says, this is what you need to do. You need to trust the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding. And then you're going to have peace. God is going to bless you. And he will set your path straight. And that's the revelation that God wants us to embrace. That in reality, for us to understand something, we have to have the whole story. We have to see both pictures. Everything, that's what happens in the court of law, that God wants us to listen to the stories, and then we can say something and try to understand. Have you ever experienced people doing evil, and you try to understand why they are doing evil, why this person is doing this, and you try to think and think and think, and there is no explanation why? Our flesh, our desire, the desires of our heart, our brokenness is to do evil. So when people do evil, they do evil because they are evil. Hello? And when people do good, they do good because they are aiming to be better. That's it. There is no explanation. There is no. Stop asking and trying to understand why this person killed that person, why this person steal from that person, why this person hate that person. Because we are evil. We are broken. That's it. Easy. And then we can rest in this understanding and breathe. And especially when someone is sharing you a story about someone else and you begin to talk and form a judgment without listening to the other person. A story. So next time someone says something about whoever, then before you say something, let me ask that person and see what is his part on this story. And then you can, with some understanding, say, okay, I think that's what is happening is this. You cannot do that if you are only listening to one piece of the story. And pastors, when we are only listening to one member without listening to the other member, we make many mistakes, many assumptions. Because you know what the Bible says? Whoever gets first and show and present his case seems like he has the truth. Until another come and correct them. So it's so important that we do that. Imagine that your husband come back home late and he show up and the spouse come and says, you are late, you are always late, you are never here, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, why are you here? Why are you late? Because I had a car accident. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. Why you didn't say so? Because you didn't let me say so. You make a lot of mistakes when you don't listen first, when you make assumptions. That's the reality of life. So my hope is that we start trusting God and then letting him show us so we don't lean on our own understanding. This is the action for this particular principle. This week, pray and ask God to align our desires, your desires, with his will. And everything will be fine, knowing that even though it doesn't feel good, it will be okay. Principle. Number two, walk the path of humility. God wants us to be humble. Jesus was sharing us the king of the universe, riding a donkey, coming as a man. That was powerful, showing us humility. He emptied himself from his glory, from his power, from his anointing to embrace our humanity. And we need to learn from Jesus. This is what the Bible says in Matthew 23:12. Whoever exalts himself will be what? Humble. And whoever humbles himself will be what? Exalted. And that's what God wants us to be. Don't go to places like you are the big kahuna, like you are the king of the universe, like you are the CEO, and you are this and you are that. Be humble, because the Bible says whoever exalts himself will be what? Humble. And if you are humble, and you lead from a positional, not only from a positional authority, but from relational authority and relational, like God does, he's the God Almighty, he's El Shaddai. And then he comes and relates with you as Jesus. Wow. He relates in a covenant with you, in a relationship with you, even though he's God Almighty. So here we are, have a little bit of power,
And we want to relate with people from a position of power instead of relationship. We need to learn from God. He's all powerful, and he's not showing up all the power to you. He's showing you his heart. He wants to connect with you and your children and your children's children. He's not showing power. He's showing love, reality. So if you are a CEO, if you are a pastor, if you are a ministry leader, whoever you are, don't come like, I am the worship. No, you're nothing. You and I need to relate with people from a relational position. Hello? If we do that, we're going to imitate God. And we're going to be what? Exalted, not humble. This week, seek opportunity to serve others selflessly, just as Jesus did. Right? So when you are going through life and you have many, many, many challenges, and we do, the best way is to face life and to stop all this self-pity and all this depression is to go out and serve someone else. See, if you go to the doctor because you are depressed, they give you pills. If you come to my office, I will say, find someone that is living a life worse than yours and serve that person. Depression is gone. Do you know that depression, in many, many cases, is a luxury? It's a real disease. It's a real sickness that people get sick. But it's also this understanding that we are so immersed in our own problems that we only see our problems. If you go around and start praying for people who are really having a hard time, people who are going through difficult things in life, worse than you, you're going to say, hey, my life is awesome. Go around the world. Depression is rampant in America, not in Cuba. You don't have time to be depressed in Cuba. You get up in the morning, find lunch. Try to find lunch. Someone gets sick, there is no medicine. Pray in the name of Jesus. So when I pray for in the name of Jesus for people to be healed, it's not because I have the great faith. In Cuba, there is no medicine. Guess what? I cannot go to the hospital in Baptist Hospital, in St. Joseph Hospital, nothing like that. Hello. So you have to rely on the Lord. You have to trust in the Lord. And you go to all those places, and you cannot be depressed because you have to get up and trying to figure it out how you're going to survive the day. So my hope is that we all can start opening our eyes now that we have this technology. And if you are depressed, go around the world and see how people are living. Go to these people around even in the United States, going to Florida and North Carolina and all those places where the flood, the tornadoes are taking houses away. And here you are in your beautiful bed, depressed. It's time to get up and serve someone else. And the moment you do that, God will show his grace to you and bless you and lift up this darkness of depression off you. Because now you position yourself to allow God to use you as a channel to bless someone else. And the moment the Holy Spirit begins to come down from the heaven through you, the depression goes away. He washes away your depression, your sickness, your disease, your anxiety, all that madness. Gone. But you have to position yourself and allow God to do that. Last one, prepare your heart for Holy Week. This is an awesome opportunity to spend time with God, to reflect on your sins, to reflect on your life, reflect on your family. As we approach Good Friday, we're going to have Thursday service and then Friday and then Sunday. Prepare yourself. Fast, pray, spend time with God. And then he will bless you. He will give you directions. This is an opportunity every year to remind ourselves the purpose of God in our life. Let's read this passage together. 1, 2, 3. He was pierced and crushed for our transgressions, for our sins, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. So the peace is already bought for you. So regardless of what you're feeling, don't trust your heart. Trust God. Everything will be fine because Jesus already bought that peace. I don't have peace on the market. I don't have peace in politics. I don't have peace in the country. I have peace in God. And the moment you embrace that, God will bless you and you will be healed
heal, detachment from the world, knowing that Jesus is coming back, knowing that he bought peace for you. I claim that peace, even though my heart is anxious right now, even though I'm frustrated right now. I'm going to the secret place. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fast. And I'm going to get rid of this anxiety, and I'm going to exchange all that frustration for the peace that Jesus bought for me on the cross. And now you can rest. And now your wounds will be healed. So this week, read the gospel accounts of Jesus' final days, fast, or set aside extra time for prayer. Today, we are registering for the prayer vigil. How many of you know that we have a prayer vigil this weekend? Raise your hands if you know that there is a prayer vigil. Okay, good. Well, I encourage you to come and sign up, right? And if you don't sign up, show up. God knows that you're here anyway, right? But come, because we are in a season as a church that we need to be praying like never before. We need to be spending time together like never before. We need your gifts and graces and skills like never before. We need your presence here in the church like never before. This is a crucial time for St. John Community Church. So my hope is that you come and pray. Join us. Just drive by. Come. Even if you come for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, it's not about the length of the prayer. It's about the heart and the trust that you're going to build. So if you cannot, okay, I cannot commit an hour, and they ask me to sign up for an hour, forget about that. Come for 15 minutes. Come for 30 minutes. Come. And as we come together before God, he's going to bless us. He's going to redirect us to be who we need to be in Jesus. So this is a powerful quote from St. Augustine that I want us to read together. 1, 2, 3. Wow. God wants us to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So I'm going to leave you with these thoughts, this conclusion, so when you leave, you remember exactly what God wants us to walk with. Palm Sunday is a celebration, but it's also what? Foreshadows the cost of true victory. Jesus was not the king of the king the people expected, but he was exactly the king they needed. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was not just a moment of glory, but a step toward his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on Palm Sunday, we are reminded of your perfect plan fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us to trust in your wisdom, even when we don't understand your ways. Give us hearts of humility like Christ, and the courage to walk faithfully in your purpose. May we prepare ourselves for the coming days, remembering the price Jesus paid for our salvation. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Church, there's a few quick announcements for you, and then U.S. Mark's going to give us our benediction. First, there's been a few, actually quite a few families who have expressed interest in joining St. John Community Church. Super excited about that. So we're going to have a new members class. Those are for individuals who are not currently members of St. John Community Church to come and kind of learn who we are, what we're, what we believe, and where we're headed. And so if you're interested in that, reach out to the office at St. John. At stjohnky.com, and we'll get you signed up for that. It's going to be Wednesday, April 23rd, from 6 to 7 p.m. If that time doesn't work for you, reach out to the office or YoSmart directly, and we'll find a time to meet with you and just go through all that stuff. And then Pastor YoSmart did a great challenge for us to sign up for the prayer vigil. You can do that right outside on the poster board there. I would love to see you this weekend as we pray over our church, over our community, over all that what God is doing here at St. John Community Church. And then just a few other quick updates for you on our worship schedule for next month in May. We got a couple of really important dates coming up, so I want to make sure that I say this clearly so we are all on the same page. You should have seen it in the Friday email, as well as Pastor Yosmar is going to be sharing a full, all the details, everything you need to know in a couple of days in the Spiritual Pulse. So if you don't get that email, let us know. And we'll make sure you get that. But basically, on Mother's Day, May 11th, we're going to have a Reset Sunday where we kind of take a little bit of a break from being in the sanctuary. And we're actually going to do a drive-through service. And we're going to do drive-through. We're going to communion, pray over you, give flowers to mothers. It'll be a great time. That's going to be 9:30 to 10:30. Come and be a part of that as we kind of reset. And then on the 18th, we're going to have a Covenant Sunday. And it's going to kind of mark a recommitment to St. John Community Church, moving forward, being covenant partners together as we see what God is going to do. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to have some special things in that service. We're going to have a remembrance of baptism. We're going to have a placing of remembrance stones, Ebenezer stones. Super excited about that. So you will not want to miss that opportunity. May 18th. That's going to be at 9:30. One service at 9:30 on the 18th. So hope that you'll be there for that Covenant Sunday with us as we move forward. So, YoSmart, will you give us our benediction?
Are you excited? Yes. I am. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He guide your steps on this journey to the cross. And may your heart be filled with the hope of His resurrection. Go in peace, walking the path of humility and grace. Go in peace. Amen.